everybody. We're back. Turn Zero's back. We took the holiday off. I think we let everybody know so they weren't surprised, but it's been a long time without our soothing, dulcet voices, especially Todd's.
I'm pretty surprised.
So we're excited to be back. I mean, not a lot has happened, but some stuff has happened. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about the A-Force. We're going to talk about tournament results, upcoming TTS stuff. We got a lot of ground to cover to make up the last couple weeks of the year that we missed. So let's just kick this thing off fast. How are you guys doing?
I am here.
You are here.
Todd's here, and I'm doing well. So I think we're doing great.
Sweet. I can confirm Todd is here. He's a real person, unfortunately.
I am 100% real.
He may have sent you a random friend request today. He just discovered he could do that on Facebook.
I did. It was pretty cool.
So beware of that.
Todd's finally getting out of the Stone Age.
And dude, like I sent out like 40 or 50 of them in like 5 seconds. I was like, oh shit, yeah, I'm gonna just friend this people.
Yeah, so if he's friends with anybody you know, you might have got a random friend request from Todd. It's fine to add him. He doesn't post anything crazy.
I do have a thing for Russian bots, though.
He does.
I do.
We'll have to put those up sometime.
Or not.
You say some private things in there that we can't tell people?
I do. I share some personal information
just
there.
Just keep falling for the Russian bots.
They're so cute.
Everybody's got a weakness.
I got a thing.
So let's just jump into it. Talk about what we missed over the last couple of weeks. We had the wrap up of the Mutant Fall TTS League. We talked about that a little bit in the last episode. Sooner, I think you were the only one competing in that, were you?
Yeah, we wrapped the Mutant League up. It was a nice, fun league. It kind of turned into a pretty competitive at the end. Kind of felt like like your normal TTS league. It just had a few little funny quirks about it. But that wrapped up and was a lot of fun.
Did you end up ever really taking the bounty side, or did you pretty much play straight the whole time?
I played the bounty hunter, I think, every time. So every single game I played with 3 team tactics cards.
And then that work out for you? Was it a challenge? Like, it seems crazy because those tactics cards are so important.
It is. I take that back. The first week when I played Sploosh, I was the one with the 5 team tactics cards. But every week after that, I think I had 3. And it's a challenge. It is a very big challenge. You don't really realize how much harder the game is only using 3 versus 5. It really limits what you can do, and those cards are so powerful that it was a big difference. But I was able to push through it, and luckily I was able to win the league. I went undefeated and played a mix of Criminal Syndicate and Defenders, and had a great time. A lot of good opponents.
I feel like that's because I wasn't there. He was able to win out.
I was going to count it as a win against you because you didn't play.
That's kind of a dick move, but. All right. Well, that's fine. Sooners 3, I'm 1. I'm going to give it up.
Wow. All that trash talk to be 3-1.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting once he's like 10-2. It'll be interesting what he has to say then.
It won't stop.
Yeah.
It won't stop.
It doesn't compute for him. He just talks trash all the time. So I don't think it'll stop just because he's actually losing.
And that's a very positive aspect for him to take, where he thinks he's going to get to 10-2.
Well, I'm playing it on the safe side. I mean, 10-1 is probably the likelihood, but
it's the power of positive thinking.
You know what? Fuck you, bitches.
I would say something about your skill level, but I just got trucked by you today. So
yeah, you did.
I can't really say anything.
You got trucked.
To be fair, I didn't know what I was doing. But I put up a good fight.
Yeah.
The league was good. I think I played in the Central Division. Each region played their own division, and we had a pretty good turnout. I think there were about 30 guys, and there were a lot of the top players from Season 3 TTS were in it. So it was a lot of good practice for myself, a lot of good games.
That's awesome, dude. We get a good split of the different types of teams, or you see a lot of the same stuff that people are playing in Season 3.
Yeah, I played mostly against Brotherhood and X-Men. I think all of my games were against either Brotherhood or X-Men.
Yeah. Oh, so it was heavy on the X-Men side then?
It was more heavy on the Brotherhood side. I think I played out of...
Makes sense.
Yeah, I think I may have played X-Men once or twice, and the rest was all Brotherhood.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. When we were talking about it when they first came out, it seemed like Brotherhood was a little more complete, maybe. X-Men seemed like they were probably better spread out amongst other teams. So that kind of tracks for what I was thinking anyway.
Yeah, Brotherhood also, they got that big power piece in Magneto, and a lot of people like that.
People still abusing Mystique?
Not really. I didn't see a whole lot of that. Mystique with that, I mean, her big play is Deception. I think outside of Deception, she's an average character at best. So, you just got to kind of try to play around Deception.
Yeah, that was one of the big things right before we took our break was people were starting to see the power of Deception, so I wasn't sure if it had held throughout the whole league or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, and do you think that's more a symptom of the fact that people were just kind of relaxing a little bit more because it was more of a casual league, or do you think it's an indication that people were just kind of past that power creep or that power level?
I could tell you from the games I played, there was no casual about it. I mean, every game I played was basically tournament level. My opponents kind of took it as that. Now, I mean, it was kind of playing the rules where somebody only got three tactics cards and things like that. But no, I mean, it was played pretty much like a tournament.
That's pretty cool.
Interesting.
And that's hardcore too, man. Like, you're like, you know what? I'm going to play this. Cause I've played with you. You're not the kind of guy who's like, you know what? I'm going to take this on a completely casual level. And if I lose with three cards, that's acceptable to me. Cause that's not how you are. You're like, you know what? I'm going to take this -2 cards and try and beat your ass to see if I have that level to do it. So, like, to take that kind of a commitment into a league format, like, it's basically a tournament across 4 or 5 weeks is what it really is. And, like, yeah, I know you're not going into it with the idea that it's okay if I lose this.
I think it was just interesting that they gave players a choice to handicap themselves for potential more points. Like, that's pretty intriguing to me.
And yeah.
I need to see the results for myself. I haven't done a lot of research on it because I've been busy. But I'd be curious to see how many people tried to work that angle and whether or not it was successful. Like, that is another indication of how powerful the tactics cards are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that's how it started out. I mean, I think it kind of started out kind of just playing some new stuff, playing X-Men and Brotherhood. And as the weeks went on, you got into your, 3-0s, then 4-0s, and things kind of tightened up. And it was still fairly, honestly, it felt like playing in the TTS league. I mean, it felt the exact same. The games were the exact same.
You just didn't have to play somebody on my level every week.
No, just better people.
I was going to say, I had of all the seasons I've played, this may have been the most gauntlet of a schedule I've ever played.
I've talked to you. I've talked to you through our messenger, and I know you have run the gauntlet this time.
Yeah, I played some really good players. I think out of the five games I played three or four guys who made top cut last year. So, whenever your first round game is against Sploosh, that starts off the season right there.
Yeah, you might as well put on your big boy pants to start.
Exactly. So it was a lot of fun, and I think everybody had a lot of fun playing. I had great opponents, and it was good. That's all we can really say about it.
So keeping on the TTS track, season 4 is coming up for the TTS League. We always like these things. We don't have the roster breakdowns or anything in front of us to go through this time, but just want to talk to you about this a little bit sooner because I know Todd wasn't able to make this tournament either. That's 2 in a row. He's kind of given up on competitive.
That is not the case.
You know, it's okay, Todd. Competitive's not for everybody.
You know what? Fuck you. Fuck you. And fuck everybody that thinks that's the case. I'm more than happy to compete. I got a tight schedule right now.
There's a lot going on over in Tagland, so I'll give them a break. But sooner you are involved in the league, as always. Anything special rules-wise this year or this season? Have they added anything different, going to make it interesting, or is it going to be just straight-up tournament?
No, it's straight-up same as last season. You have the four different regions. You have a breakdown of people who will make top cut, which will be the top 16 from those regions. And then you have the top cut tournament at the very end. And I think it looked like there may have been less people signing up, but I think it ended up being actually a little more than last season. So that was, that's another good thing. But that's probably, there were probably, and this is a guesstimation, because when you listen to this, the season will be started, but as of recording, this is the last night to sign up. So
wait. So I can still sign up tonight if I wanted to?
If you have 7 minutes, so you better get on Discord and message. But yes, you can certainly sign up. 8 o'clock is the cutoff.
Did we just taunt Todd into signing up last minute?
You know what? I'm looking at it right now.
I think you should do it.
You know what? Sooner, what league are you in?
So I'm doing West again.
You motherfucker. God, he's dodging me.
No. I have very good reasons for this. I played in West last season, too.
Well, we'll have to get back to you and see if Todd makes his...
I'm looking at it right now. I may... Do I have to submit a roster right this minute?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Well, you only have to play it the first 3 weeks, then you get to change.
Oh, man.
You have that kind of time? Do we need to take a break?
No, just keep going. I'm going to type.
All right. Well, Sooner, if it's not too much to ask, do you feel like letting us know what you're playing this season, or are you just trying to keep it under wraps a little bit?
No. Like I said, the season will have already started when this comes out anyway. So, plus, I'd tell you anyway. But I'm going to play Criminal Syndicate. I've been practicing them since season 3 ended. And I really enjoy playing them. I think that a lot of people think they're just a straight up, hey, you move this model here and then you win the game, which in some ways is correct. But I think that they really, really reward well for positioning. And I like that about them. And I'm having a lot of fun playing them. So I'm sticking with a mono criminal syndicate list. I went back and forth of playing them, Defenders, and or A Force, and I ended up sticking with Criminal Syndicate.
Interesting. I was playing a lot of Criminal Syndicate before we took our break, and I was just doing the natural pairing with Cabal, since half the characters go with each other. But those are some interesting pair-up affiliations. So who is in your final roster?
So my final roster is Kingpin, Green Goblin, Merzane's favorite, Crossbones, and then, let's see, Taskmaster, Ant-Man, Okoye, Toad, who am I missing? Black Dwarf. I got two more. Who are the other two? They're 3-point characters. Mystique, because I have to have Deception in there to counter Hired Muscle, and Doctor Strange. That's my roster.
Interesting. You got some wild cards in there. Ant-Man is an interesting choice because we didn't see any of him in season 3.
So Sooner has been on Ant-Man for a while.
With him, man.
And he has played the hell out of him, and I've been super impressed with his dedication to that character and how he has turned him. I really like Ant-Man, and Sooner has made some super solid use of that character.
Both those characters have some very cool play potential, so I'm excited to see some people stretching it.
Yeah, I think Ant-Man is cool. It's funny because when Ant-Man came out, when I just read his card, I thought he was trash. And then some guy played Ant-Man into me, and I was like, oh, well, he's really good. And then Criminal Syndicate came out, and I was like, you know what? He would be real good in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just – I really like him in Criminal Syndicate.
He's super good.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like fun. I'm interested to see how you do with the Syndicate, because like I said, I was playing him a ton. I was doing some different stuff with him, like mixing him with Cabal and trying to do like what was the name of the list? with the shooty stuff where you pew, 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 pew.
Oh, the Widow Bomb?
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to Widow Bomb out of Criminal Syndicate with All According to Plan, just to make sure you take priority back. And it was stretching it a little bit because there's so many characters that are out of affiliation. But I think there's a ton of potential there. Like, that affiliation has a ton of play to it. Like you said, like, it seems really simple on the front of it, but there's so many cool things you can do, like passing hammers back and forth and getting the die benefit and handing it off to other people, stuff like that. So seeing somebody be able to flex the whole thing sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's a really fun, like you said, it's got it's got a bottom level that it's pretty easy. You play Criminal Syndicate and you're going to be pretty good just because how good the affiliation is, but it's just got this another level that once you can really learn to play them really good, it's just got this another level that makes them really tough. So, and my roster is built. So, you know, a lot of people nowadays are building rosters to specific things like hired muscle and things like that. I kind of took the opposite approach with this roster, and I basically build a roster that is maybe not great into any one particular thing, but it is good into literally everything. So what I do is I look at my opponent and I say, all right, what do I think he's weakest at? And that's what I'm going to play because my roster is good and can play pretty much everything very well.
And you mentioned hired muscle, and I know that other podcasts have kind of talked this to death, but it sounds like hired muscle is going to be sort of the key thing you have to be on the lookout for in this season. You feel pretty good against it?
I do. I mean, I have a, you know, unfortunately, hired muscle is, I mean, it's been talked about a lot. I don't think it's good for the game. It's unfortunate because this is such a great, healthy game. And this is the one thing that kind of makes it unhealthy, because when you build a roster, if you're really looking to play competitively, your first thing you have to do is put in counters just for that. So hopefully this league will kind of show that it needs to be either on the banned or restricted list, but it's not. So we have to have answers to it. I think I have a pretty good one. I have Doctor Strange, I have Mystique with Deception, and I have Kingpin who can throw because I had advanced R&D, so he can throw first turn. So I have some good answers in there for it, but it's still just such a crapshoot. Even with the answers, like, dice have to go your way, or it's just you're starting behind the eight ball.
As of Sooner's completion of that statement, I am now registered for season 4 TTS.
Oh, shit. Did you sign up in West?
That's what I'm talking about.
Did you go that hard?
No, I signed up Central.
Okay. All right. Well, so Dodge is Sooner. That's fine, though.
I don't want to dodge Sooner. I want to take Sooner out in the top.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see.
Oh,
you.
So you're waiting for top cut. Got
so, we'll see you at top 16.
So if you want to know my team, I now have it picked.
Yeah.
I was almost on the wagon with you right there. Like, I thought about it real hard because I talk a lot of shit for somebody who doesn't play competitively. But I got a raid, so.
He plays Warcraft. If for any of you that don't know, that grew up in the past fucking like 20 years that don't pay attention, World of Warcraft is a game that came out, I don't know, like 5 decades ago. People still play it, and so does Chris.
It's been fun for me. And I don't have to roll dice. So, well, I do sort of when I try to get gear, but, you know.
Yeah, you still do.
It doesn't feel as bad.
And it's a 1 in 100 there.
I'm pledging, though, this year I will enter a competitive event.
Good.
I will. See, the thing is, like, nobody knows how good I actually am except for Todd. And so
not real good.
He's been holding me back because he's afraid of what's going to happen to the competitive community when I get involved. So I've just been respecting him, but I think I'm ready to, like, unleash.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you? I mean, I signed up for the TTS League. So this will be my actual first full competitive league since the first one. Every other one I've just kind of piecemealed in.
And jumped in partway. They're like, maybe there'd be a chance to jump in partway, like, and I could make it work.
Yeah, they're like, hey, some guy lost a couple games. Do you want to come play? Sure. Sure. I'll see if I can salvage something out of that.
I think it's funny, though, that I finally graduated from college. And I'm done and I don't have to do anything. And then I immediately found, like, the most fucking time consuming thing I can do.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, you know what? I think I'm going to go raid.
Yeah. Yeah. No problem.
No, I'm playing spiders.
All right.
Nice.
That list you showed me today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm playing Miles, Gwen, Peter, Taskmaster. So that's my first four, right? Vision, Enchantress, MODOK. That's one, two. What is that? Seven?
Six or seven.
Yeah. So that's a good solid core.
Keep going until you run out.
I don't remember what the other ones were. I've already submitted the list. I don't get to look at it again.
Those were the key components, though.
Those were the key components.
You got the big dogs in there. You got MODOK. You got Enchantress. So you're good.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mystique. Of course, Mystique is in there. Mm-hmm. Hired Muscle Counterplay. And somebody else.
The question will be is, do we think Mystique will be the most taken character in the game?
So I think Mystique will be pretty high up there for the people that are trying to prepare for hired muscle counterplay. Right? Like, I mean, I think that's her spot, right? Like, that's what she's doing.
I am going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say this is my prediction before the rosters drop. I think Mystique will be the most taked character, because if you combine, there's going to be a lot of Brotherhood, and then there's going to be a lot of people taking her for the counter to Hired Muscle. I think she's the most popular taken character.
She should be well up there. I mean, I would agree with that.
So,
I would actually argue that Miles should be a lot higher on people's list than he has been.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see. I mean, it'll be fun to see if Valkyrie's still up there at number one. Or, I mean, it could be a host of characters, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's her, which is funny because it shows how much of a problem Hired Muscle is, because Mystique is not that strong of a character.
Agreed.
So if we say that Mystique with Deception is the hard counter to Hired Muscle, does that make Miles like a soft counter?
I don't think Mystique's a hard counter. I think she is a counter, but I don't think I don't think there is a hard counter to Hired Muscle.
Yeah, I agree. I think either one of those are good solid counters to it. The two of them combined, you could argue is a hard counter, mm-hmm. right?
Well, Mystique seems to be the most direct counter, I guess would be the better word for it, because she's being played specifically to
I don't know if I'd call her a counter. I feel like she's a punishment. Like, if you're going to put your character out there, they're going to have to pay for it. And that's what she's telling them, right?
Right.
Like, and if you see Deception in their hand, you know that if you lean out there to try and do that, You have the ability to take a lot of dice to the face.
Right.
So you have to decide how much that's worth.
Yep.
Right.
And that's what she is. So while she has counterplay into, she's not exactly a hard counter. But she definitely puts them on notice of what you can do in response.
Yeah, I'm curious about this league too, whether or not it's going to demonstrate some of the new stuff that wasn't around in season three, namely Brotherhood and Criminal Syndicate, or if people are going to be sticking with the tried and true. You know, we're going to see a lot of the same kind of Black Order stuff. We're going to see maybe some Cabal, because Cabal expanded in a pretty meaningful way.
I would argue that certain people, one on this show in particular, has also put on other factions on the radar that people might not have been paying attention to, namely Guardians.
There is some stuff going on with Guardians. We'll talk about that a little later, though.
There is some play with Guardians. Sooner, you were one of the guys that really fucking put that on the map with the last TTS season. Do you feel like there's still going to be a strong faction going forward?
Nope.
Really?
All right, so we'll bring it up now. So not even with 9-point Thanos?
So I don't think most people are doing the 9-point Thanos in Guardians. I've seen it mostly in A-Force, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, Guardians is what it is. I bet you Guardians is the lowest-taked faction.
Agreed.
Besides maybe Black Order, but... And I think it deserves it. And I love my Guardians, and I did well with them last season. But after, you know, after taking the training weights off and playing some of the big boys, I mean, you really do see a difference. I mean, yeah. I had to work really hard to get those wins, whereas, you know, sometimes just the strength of my affiliation now is getting a win.
Yeah, I was going to say, last season you were playing with the training weights on most of the season because you did have drop-off for the very beginning of it. But as soon as that got taken away, the training weights became an anchor.
Yeah, no, in retrospect, I should have switched at the top. Once I lost drop-off at the top cut, I mean, this is kind of a tangent, but I should have switched. That pretty much neutered my whole list. And I tried to power through because I felt like I owed it to them because I played them all season. But it didn't work out. But, no, I mean, I think they'll be one of the lower ones. You know, look, every season in TTS, it's new shiny syndrome every single season.
Yep.
So you're going to see a lot of A-Force. You're going to see a lot of Brotherhood. You're going to see probably a lot of X-Men. And then, you know, with Angela and Enchantress coming out, you're going to see a lot of resurgence of Asgard. So it'll be fun. I think this will be the most spread out we've ever had it, too.
So now that I was going to save this for its own section, but we brought it up, the nine-point Thanos thing. So it's Thanos with reality and time. Has been coming up more, and I've seen it within our chat come up in Guardians. You say a lot of people are talking about bringing in an A-Force. Turns Thanos from what we've seen in previous seasons as a super control piece into kind of a little more of a beater, but he also has, you know, obviously that control potential since he's getting a third activation every turn. Do you think he's worth worrying about, or is he something that you can pretty readily deal with? Should people be on alert?
Yeah, no, I think he's absolutely something you have to be on alert about. I think it's one of those lists that I think that if you don't know it's coming, it's going to be brutal, and it's going to hit you in the face, and it's going to be not a pleasant game at all. You're going to lose pretty hardcore.
Agreed.
If it's something that you do know is coming, I don't think it's going to be as effective. I think that also, and this isn't a knock versus, you know, newer players versus more experienced players, but I think it's also going to be a list that's much better against newer players who want to brawl and want to, you know, not use control and scenario to play the game. Whereas
it's a BDT list.
Yeah, it is exactly a BDT list. I think that more experienced players are going to control it a little bit better than newer players are. So I think there's going to be kind of an experience gap when you play that list, depending on who your opponent is. Now, that being said, I think it's a very good list, and I think that if he gets the Thanos player gets the scenarios they want, it can be brutal to beat.
Yeah.
Yeah, Todd and I actually played that today. I put him in the Guardians with Star-Lord, Rocket, Groot at 17. Todd was playing Spiders with Enchantress, and he was able to get a foothold early and get a Power of the Cosmos off that dazed Miles on turn two. So very effective. And then Todd realized he could webline Thanos to the back of the map.
It wasn't that I realized I could do it at that point.
Well, you were set up to do it finally.
Yeah, I needed to have him in a position that allowed me to use multiple pieces to control him.
Yeah.
And that was the setup, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I needed to get him to commit to a point so I could make him less of a threat to the rest of my board. Mm-hmm. Which allowed me to control your portion of the board. And that's what happened. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what Sinner just said. If you don't know what to expect, or if you don't have a game plan going into it, you're going to fucking pay. And it's going to be a real bad time. And you're going to be left turn four going, where the hell is my board state?
Yeah. It was definitely, like you were saying, Sooner, for a newer player, that's a lot of meat coming at you.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to lay down some pipe all around the team.
Yeah.
Unless you could get him out of there and make sure he stays out of there. Because he's also getting that third activation every turn. So he doesn't mind taking one to walk back. You really need to shoot him into outer space and just keep him there.
Yeah, which is what I had to do, right? Yeah. Like, I committed Enchantress to move him once, mm-hmm. Shuri to shoot him once. And Spidey to pull him once.
If not, pull him twice.
Yeah. Like, get him like, out. Shoot, shoot, pull, move, whatever. Get the fuck out of my area. I need this zone.
Yeah.
And we were also playing on the E scenario for both objectives, which really limited the play space to begin with. Mm-hmm. And if I could keep him out of that area, it kept the rest of my team in it.
Yeah. And that's another thing that's worth mentioning probably is that he's going to really thrive on E and C.
He will thrive on the centerline objectives.
Right. Yeah. Demons is brutal against it. I mean, that's going to be a really hard gameplay.
Yeah. So we were playing on Meteors and Senators.
Yeah, so we were all stacked up on
the side. Yeah, so that's a good one for it. Yeah, I mean, that's anything where you're clumped in the middle is going to be good for it.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why I was like, I need to get him to commit past his point. And as soon as I got him to commit over the line, I knew I could keep him past the line, right? Like, I knew I could hold him off on that side and then play on the other side. Like, that was the entire game plan for me.
Yeah, and you know, part of being good at this game is just in general is knowing when and what fights to fight. And you know, you don't. That's where newer players are just going to go into a brawl with Thanos or She-Hulk, and just get absolutely obliterated. Whereas your more experienced players are going to say, "Okay, I can't kill Thanos. I'm just going to throw him to the side of the board every turn." And take my lumps, you know, the one or two attacks he does, take my lumps and just move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what I did with him. I when I was able to grab the mutant senator, I baited him with that senator because the senator is only worth 2 points. The meteors were worth 3.
Yeah.
So if I was able to get him to commit to the senator and not the meteors, I knew I could catch him and pass him in points.
It wasn't a bait.
It was totally a bait.
Bait implies that I fell for it.
What you did.
No. What happened was I got moved off into BFE, and you left Shuri there.
With the senator to make sure he was I got to take this
shot.
That
was the only thing that I could attack, so that's not really a bait.
Oh, it was totally a bait.
That's leaving me only one option, okay?
It was totally a bait. Because he could have ran past it and done some shit, but he didn't.
I think it's a good list. I'll be very curious. I know some high-level players are playing it, so I'll be very curious to see how it does. I think that I'm going to go through. I have basically 3 main counters for the people, you know, that you can look at when you run up against this list. And this really goes towards the Thanos list, but this kind of goes for Magneto and all those kind of big hitters. But the first counter is control. You want to control. You don't always want to attack these characters. A lot of times attacking Thanos is just giving him power so he can do even more next turn. So you want to more control him. So he's only size 3. You want guys who can throw size 3 or size 4. You want people who can push with attacks. You want people who can pull like the spiders. Any way you can control him, that's going to be very beneficial. Number 2 is spread scenarios. He's 9 points. They physically can't fit that many more characters in there. So you want to try to spread. A D scenario is not a great scenario for this list. Because it's hard for Thanos to have the type of impact he has to have. So spreading out. And then the last counter is putting status effects on him. Obviously things like stagger, shock, Slow. Those things will really add up. So I think if you look at those 3 things, those 3 will really help you in fighting this list, which I think will take the season by storm a little bit and show Thanos off in a different way that we haven't seen him, which is actually cool.
Yeah.
I was going to say that's super cool because I know the initial reaction to Thanos was really low, you know, because nobody saw this character and thought he was going to be that impactful. And then we've seen in season 3 how he can be used as a control piece. Now we have a sort of a beater variant of him that's also going to be difficult to deal with. So I like that he's making his mark on the game and he's not just a throwaway piece because he's so cool and thematic.
Well, I mean, he's fucking Thanos. He should make a mark, right? Like,
It's great to see. I like that he's such a polarizing character, and it fits him, you know, to a T, his comic and his MCU character. So I think it's great.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I like the idea that there's both variants that you have to prepare for. None of that is a feel bad to me. You know what I mean? Like that's what you expect a 6-point character to be.
That's another good point.
Is something that can impact the board in multiple states, and through the past two leagues and through some of the knowledge we've gained up until this league, like, we've seen him be both, and that's exciting.
Yeah, I think he should be imposing. You know, when you're putting a 6-point, 9-point character on the board.
Dude, he was a villain for two movies. He's got to be good.
He should have a huge board presence. And so far, the characters that have had huge board presence for the most part have been relatively inexpensive, like a Valkyrie or a Thor was an exception because he's 5. MODOK is 5. But, you know, there's some low-point characters that have made outsized impact on the game. And it's nice for him to feel like he's a threat.
Yeah, and I mean, Thanos is not a 6-point character. Let's be honest. He's a 7 to 9 threat character.
Agreed.
If you play Thanos and you don't play him with a gem, please reconsider, because he's garbage without any gems as a 6-point character. But when you start putting these powerful gems on him, then he starts getting his power exponentially goes up. So he's really a 7 to 9 threat character.
Well, to that point, we just had a new character drop this week, right?
Yes.
Smooth segue,
because we talked about this a little bit. We brought up A-Force a couple times, and that's a new affiliation that's come out this month with She-Hulk. So we could go over her card real quick. So
yeah,
She-Hulk.
AKA the Better Hulk.
The Better Hulk.
Definitely the Better Hulk.
Almost the Hulk replacer, if not for Gamma Launch.
Almost the original Hulk.
So she is built basically the same way as a Hulk in terms of card mechanics. So she has a 20 health and does not have a day side. She's a medium mover, size 3. She's cost 6 threat.
She's on a medium base, though.
She's on a medium base. So not as big as Hulk, but she still gets to move medium. She has 3 physical, 4 energy, 3 mystic defense. Pretty stout. Her first attack is Sensational Uppercut, which is 2 range, 7 die for 0 power. After this attack is resolved, this character gains power equal to the damage dealt. Oh boy, Hulk could have used one of those.
A power builder?
Huh. It was pretty solid, so she's already more reliable than Hulk, probably. After the attack is resolved, target character gains slow. Her next attack is the Defense Rest, which is a 3 threat, 9, or 3 range, sorry, 9 die, 5 energy attack. If the attack deals damage and after the attack is resolved, the character gains slow and stun special conditions. If the target already has slow, it gains stagger. So she's already doing a lot of status effects, which is scary for a character that's going to be on top of you. The A-Force affiliation called Defenders of Arcadia is when an allied character is damaged by an enemy effect, another allied character may gain 1 power. A character may not gain more than 1 power from this leadership ability per turn. It's very interesting. So if you get hit or one of your teammates gets hit, you can gain some power.
Somebody gets pissed.
Yeah, it's a great leadership.
She has Clear the Court, which is a 3 cost power. It's a throw for both terrain and enemy characters of size 4 or less and within Jesus 2 Christ. Range. It is thrown medium. Can only be used once per turn. She then has Superior Weight Training, which is 3 energy cost. During the next attack made by this character this turn, add dice to the attack roll equal to the size of the target. So she punches up, too. So MODOK better be careful.
Oh, my God.
She also has Legal Defense, which is a 2 energy power. When an ally character within 2 of this character is targeted by an attack, this character may use the superpower. This character becomes the target of the attack regardless of range and line of sight. So she has Bodyguard. She also has Gamma Transfusion. During the power phase, this character gains 1 additional power. After an attack targeting this character is resolved, if this character suffered damage, it may advance short towards the attacking character. Additionally, if this character would flip its stat card to the injured side, it's KO'd instead. So that's Hulk's, but with extra stuff attached to it. And she's also immune to poison.
She is
What do you think?
Ridiculous, Todd? Compared to fucking Hulk.
But just in general, I think she's a really good card. I mean, she's a six threat, so she's really expensive, but she's worth that six threat. I mean, she is.
She is worth every bit of that six threat. The only thing she's missing is fucking Gamma Launch.
Yeah, yeah. Which, I mean, we haven't gone over her cards, but her cards are better than Gamma Launch.
Yeah, I guess, arguably. But, man, like, if Hulk had this stat line and Gamma Launch,
he'd be played a lot more.
Shoot, just the ability to gain power.
He'd be played a lot more.
Yeah. The fact that she has a builder to me is crazy, considering the type of stuff Hulk could do without it. And she has equivalent attacks or better and bodyguard and all this other stuff. So she's going to have – she's going to be tough to deal with.
Yeah, if you look at her, she's not – she's always going to have power. Because she's got such a good builder and, you know, her leadership.
20 fucking health? Yeah, she's going to have some power.
Yeah, her leadership gives out power. So, I mean, you're never going to have to, you know, be short on any power to spend. She's got a great throw. Obviously, she's got a great set of attacks. Superior weight training is a MODOK killer, which is great. I'm so glad more stuff is coming out that answers him. So, I think overall she's just a very, very good character.
Yeah. She's definitely a beater. The throw is huge. Superior weight training is huge. I mean, I think that you could probably do some pretty cool stuff with, the A-Force affiliation. And they have a pretty wide list of characters to choose from. We're not going to go through them all here, but essentially every female character in the game, with the exception of a couple, are part of A-Force.
So pretty much, yeah.
There's a lot of characters on there that are not even released in the game yet, like Crystal and Domino. And so pretty much a female character in the game that has come out or will be coming out is part of A-Force.
Minus Proxima, right?
Pretty much.
And Ghost Spider.
Which is weird because Ghost Spider should absolutely be a part of A-Force.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a couple of villain women that are not in it, but for the most part, it's pretty much every female that's in the game.
And there's some pretty good characters in there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the, I mean, to talk about, obviously, we talked about She-Hulk, and we're not going to get into an in-detail breakdown of the A-Force affiliation because that's a whole episode. But
no lie.
I think that, I mean, off the back of She-Hulk, you add the roster that they have. I mean, they just have they may have the best roster of any affiliation. They have three or four flyers. So people who don't know, She-Hulk comes with a card that gives her drop-off. So only she can be dropped off. So I think it's in that context, I think it's probably okay in this instance. But, she has three flyers. There's Wasp, Angela, and Captain Marvel just off the top of my head. They can all drop her off. They're all different point values, so you can almost always have somebody in the game to drop her off.
Can we get a clarification? Has there been any ruling stating that Wasp at size one can't drop her off?
No, I mean, from everything, it doesn't have a size restriction.
Yeah, like, because that it's restricted to her, they don't need to add a size limiter to
it. That is insane to me that she can go long with another character plus range one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, Angela can do it even further.
Oh, yeah. Angela's not a size one that has to drop an objective token, but Wasp is.
Sure.
So, that just seems weird to me. Maybe it's me, but...
There are a lot of good characters in this affiliation. I think it's going to be one of the sort of up-and-coming ones. The fact that there's a couple bodyguards in there, we have some already established solid characters like Captain Marvel, who will probably see play in this because she needs the power, right? That was one of the limiting things for Captain Marvel was you never wanted to really use binary form because it costs so much. Well, if you're getting fed power by your teammates getting hit, maybe there's an opportunity there. We saw the panel to play for Medusa recently, who may be good. We still need to see some stats on that, but that's interesting. Wasp, we've already talked about a little bit, sort of in the realm of Ant-Man, has similar abilities who can probably do some work in there. So A-Force is going to be good, I think. And it's playable already, right? Because there's so many characters that have been released that are already in A-Force that you could probably go ahead and play that now with She-Hulk release.
Oh, yeah, it's geared up and it's at its full strength right now. I mean, you got to look, it's got characters like Valkyrie, Okoye, Shuri, top characters.
Yeah, it's got three power characters that go into almost any affiliation on top of She-Hulk. Like that's massive.
And I think she is also an Avenger.
She is.
Is she an Avenger, really?
Yeah.
Avenger, yep.
Yeah, she is an Avenger.
That's pretty good.
Avengers are looking good again. I've been working on this throw list forever.
You still got the anchor. The old cap anchor, America's favorite anchor.
He is an anchor, of course, and MCP. Because all he does is reduce the cost of shit and not much else.
What are you talking about? He bodyguards.
Why would you bodyguard with him when you have She-Hulk? Who can do it?
Bodyguard with both of them.
I don't even care.
And you bring a Koye for the hell of it.
You should bring
a bodyguard. Your bodyguard. Chain it.
You know what? Everybody can bodyguard.
I think you just broke the meta. Just a team of bodyguards.
Yeah, I'm gonna have them standing apart from each other, and then just bodyguard, the bodyguard, the bodyguard.
That seems good.
Yeah, it's fine.
Should be fine.
So I know a lot of us around here have been pretty excited. I know at least one person, Joey, has been upset that she's the Hulk killer.
Yeah, like she.
I think he was writing a strongly worded letter to AMG.
Dear Will Pagani, you guys suck. I hate She-Hulk. She replaces Hulk.
Please make Hulk good.
Make Hulk better. The end. I feel like that's how that letter went.
But she's definitely like a streamlined Hulk. Right, like she fits what he wants to do, but does it all better.
She does
except
for Gamma Launch.
So I'm excited to see them. I'm excited to see how they do in the league, especially as people try to figure it out and what kind of jank they get up to with her and Angela, because we haven't seen Angela played either, and she's part of the affiliation as well.
Well, I mean, we've seen Angela played a little bit on TTS. I've gotten some reps into some people with her here in the past couple weeks, and. Angela, to me, I thought was a bunch of hype, and then I got to play against her, and I was like, wow, that character is scary.
Yeah, she's good.
You better be ready.
I think she gets a little more credit for how good of a damage dealer she is.
Yeah.
I think she's, for a 5-threat character, I think she's average on damage dealing.
Agreed.
She does have an exceptional throw. So that's really, really good. But, I mean, outside of that, she does less damage than Thor. She does less damage than MODOK. She does, less damage than Reality Corvus. But, I mean, her mobility, and which in turn makes her such a great scenario piece, I mean, that's where she thrives.
If she had a charge, she would be off the chain, probably the best 5-threat character in the game. But the fact that she doesn't, really, really limits what she can actually do.
It does. It hinders her. And, her best attack is a 6-dice attack. So we all know how much that fails.
Are you talking to me?
She's really good. I mean, there's not much else to say, but I don't think she's as much of a damage dealer as I've heard people talk to her about.
I do agree. And I think a large part of that hinders on her ability, even with the smallest of move, if she gets pushed out of position in any way, she loses an action.
Yeah, and you can like Blades of Ichor to move short back, but you have to get, I think, a wild to do that. So, I mean, there's things that, and that's only, I think, a 5-dice attack. So,
and it's range 2, right?
It's range, her Blades of Ichor is either range 3 or range 4.
Okay, reach, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Her throw does not throw characters, which is a huge deal.
Right.
An absolute huge deal. But, I mean, that said, she's a medium base. She's hard to kill. She moves long. She generates 2 power a turn. She's just a really good character.
Yeah, and in my games, the most success I had was just avoiding her.
Yeah.
Avoiding her, trying to get her out of position, and, like, that's it. Just try and make her effectively stagger each turn to get back to position to do what she needs to do.
Well, it felt like the best part about her was her mobility, which enabled...
Her mobility is insane.
But damage was not huge. It was just getting other people into position.
Yeah, her mobility is insane.
Yeah, and it'll be fun to see her, and because I think her best place is... I think she's pretty good in A-Force, but I think her best place is in Asgard, and it'll be fun to see her, because basically you're taking Thor and her, that's 10 points, so it'll be fun to see these elite Asgard teams and see how they do on the table, because I think they're going to be really good, but you know, having few models and having elite models, we've kind of already discussed in this episode, it has its inherent weaknesses.
Yeah, I think so too, because when you invest such a large amount of points into characters, you need to know that you're going to have a return on every action.
Yeah, they have to do work.
Yeah, yeah, like they have to be able to do work every action. And that's where I think that her lack of a charge is massive into those big Asgard teams.
Yeah. But I think it'll be fun because I think she's good. Asgard's maybe, you know, top affiliation or one of them. So
agreed.
I think it'll be fun to see how she does. And I think Asgard's going to be popular in this next season. So it'll be fun to see.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'll get wrecked by it once or twice.
Guaranteed.
Not guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
We're talking about her damage dealing, and she'll daze like four of your characters.
Yeah, she'll find a way to trash.
It'll be fine. I mean,
her throw is phenomenal. So, we'll shout out to. We'll use the word phenomenal for her throw.
Oh yeah, are you gonna steal Mike's phenomenal to talk about Valkyrie's throw?
It's more of an ode to Mike, you know. Just shout
more out of an ode.
Yeah. The character's name to start with a V, so.
And there you go.
Yeah. At least we're tying it in a little bit.
A little bit. There's an E in there, too.
Yeah. You guys want to take a few calls before we head out?
Calls?
Calls from the public.
Oh, listen,
we haven't touched the calls for so long because of all the transition work that we're going to take one from November, but I think it's still...
Is it relevant?
We only have three questions, so...
Oh, let's do it.
All right. Call.
Ready, Captain?
I'm ready to take calls from the public.
Okay, cool.
All right, so we're going back in the Wayback Machine. So we got a question from Griff from a while back, I guess, from the last time we did calls.
Yeah, this is back in mid-November.
Would you like to see a character who can push terrain around to relocate it rather than throwing it or exploding it?
I think that might be busted.
I think that might be really good.
That's very interesting. I've never even thought of that. But, I mean, I don't know if it would be busted, but I think that would be kind of cool. I mean, so what's the best thing it does? It would be giving you cover and blocking people who don't have flight or web crawler.
Yeah.
My first thought was it sets up Punisher.
Yeah, but Punisher, I mean, that's not that great.
So that sets up your character, right? Like, mm-hmm. You're trying to push terrain to set up your character. But, like, what Sooner is saying is you could actually use it to put somebody out of position and make them waste an action to get around something because they need to get to a certain position.
Blocking line of sight with it.
So basically put it in front of Black Panther, you know?
Right.
Like a side three in front of Black Panther and say, all right. Good luck with that long movement.
That it's actually really cool. Like it's actually a really cool idea.
That already makes me feel like the game is more dynamic if we could do that.
Yeah, I think it would be really cool. It would be hard because you know all terrain's different sizes.
Right, and you don't have a base to move it from.
Exactly. So it would be difficult, but I like the idea. I think there's something to go off of there.
Yeah, like that might be something to do in a private game or in a local game. Like maybe you come up with your own like ultimate encounter kind of idea.
Yeah, where like maybe you're playing on like a volcanic island and all the terrain shifts.
So we actually played with the idea here. James Prince actually came up with the idea of moving terrain where cars on the road actually moved.
Move at every turn?
Yeah, they moved at every turn.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, and they would cause collisions and stuff like that. So that it's kind of in the same premise. But this is a character ability, right? Like what he's talking about. I think it's cool. I don't know how you would be able to implement it in a game procedure based on the fact that terrain is done individually, right?
Yeah, in a true setup,
right?
Everybody's bringing their own. You're setting out a certain point value and pieces.
Yeah, yeah, and unless you had a base size to base it off of, I think it's impossible to do accurately. But I do think it's a badass idea.
Yeah, I think that. More I think about it, the more interesting that is. Or even just, you know, having a rule set in a local game where your terrain moves around.
Yeah. All right. That was a cool question. Next one comes from the Noble 117. Is there a character from the comics, cartoons, movies you don't see in the game?
Don't want to see in the game?
Oh, that you don't want to see in the game. I read it.
Reading is fundamental.
You know what? I read as it's written here. Yeah, so is there a character from the comics, movies, whatever, you don't want to see in the game? Sooner, go.
I mean, if I'm being honest, no. I want as much characters as we can get. I think they're fun. They're polarizing. I like seeing their cards. I like the panel to plays. Bring them all.
Chris?
If he wasn't already coming out, I was going to say Deadpool. Just the zany fourth wall breaking, I got to be crazy shit is kind of like not for me. So if he wasn't already coming out, I probably would have said Deadpool. Outside of that, man, I'm not even really sure. There's nothing I really don't like, and I can't think of anything that would be obnoxious enough that we wouldn't want to bring it into the game. Maybe some of the like ultra powered shit like Sentry or Tribunal or any of
that. I really want Sentry, so please don't take him from me.
Just any of the like super Omega things, but I guess they would balance it in the game, so it's not really an issue.
They just did Thanos.
I know.
And all the gems.
If they're bringing Lockjaw, I was going to say pets, but they're bringing Lockjaw too, so, you know. I guess I'm just...
You're just boned.
I'm just out of touch.
What about you, Todd?
Man.
Well, they already put Cyclops in the games.
Like, if I was going to pick one, it'd be Cyclops. Like, I just don't like that dude. No, there's nothing outside of Cyclops that I don't want to see.
What about Howard the Duck?
Fuck it, bring him.
What about Ego?
Go.
All right.
The collector. I don't want the collector in the game.
Whatever. Dude, I'll take him. If he collects Cyclops, he can have him.
If he KOs your model, he gets to keep it.
Sweet.
It's like playing Pogs. We're going to get a banger.
Yeah, no. Like I kind of feel like sooner. Like, we've got this expansive idea of a universe. Like, fuck, grab it all, man.
I know. I'm looking over at your Marvel poster trying to identify characters I might not want to see.
And yeah, I was sitting here doing the same thing, thinking about it, and I was like, yeah, there's nothing I can think of I wouldn't want to see other than Cyclops. Because he's a whiny bitch.
Womp, womp.
So, I mean, yeah. No, I mean, I personally love the Marvel Universe.
Mm-hmm.
I really want him to do the Runaways. Please do the Runaways.
My Marvel Comics, the Star Wars characters, you want those in the game?
I do not want Star Wars characters in this game. Do not. I've played enough Star Wars games with dice.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. All right. Last one. Sooner.
So
who's jumping on A4s from turn zero?
Yeah, so Final Flash 17 said, who's jumping on A4s from turn zero, and who is eyeing Inhumans? I'll say that I am eyeing A4s, that's for sure. There's a chance that I might play them when we switch the rosters in 3 weeks. The only reason I'm not playing them for the league is because I took after the Mutant Fall League, I took a little bit of a break and I didn't play a game. So I didn't really practice at all with them. I shouldn't say that. I did play them a few times, but not like I would like to going into a league. So that's the only reason I'm not playing them in the league. But I love them and I will play a lot of them.
I think they're, for people who have played the game from the beginning, there's almost not a whole lot of reps you need to have. You've got a lot of pieces that you've already played with that you just have a central piece to play them around. So there's a lot of flexibility going into that roster for anybody that's played the game from the beginning.
And even She-Hulk is mechanically pretty similar to Hulk.
Yeah, kind of. Kind of.
You know the dangers of playing that type of character in certain situations. Yeah. And then you figure out how to use the abilities around that.
Yeah, not only that, but if you've played Hulk, you've probably played Avengers. Mm-hmm. So you're familiar with the bodyguard mechanic. You're familiar with when to pick that place. So a lot of that stuff overlaps. And the A-Force ability is kind of similar to the Avengers ability, where you get a discount, but with the A-Force, you get an extra power. So if you plan that correctly, like...
It's almost more like Cabal.
It is.
Instead, you're getting a power when you take damage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like fun, and I completely agree with you. I think that it's a affiliation you can pick up very quickly if you're, you know, experienced, been playing for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what'll really set that affiliation up is when they start releasing some of the other characters that we don't have.
Maybe, but
I mean, there's only three of them, right? Isn't there? It's Domino, Medusa, and like
Crystal.
Like, do you expect those to make any more of an impact than say Valkyrie, Shuri, and Okoye?
Oh, and Scarlet Witch.
Marvel.
Yeah, but I mean, do you expect any of those to make more of an impact than those three we just named?
Maybe Scarlet Witch, because she'll probably
be
a flyer, maybe. But
she might do some weird stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's ready to rock and roll. I think that I probably will regret not playing them, but yeah.
You'll have a window.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm interested in A-Force. I don't know that I care about Inhumans. To me, Inhumans are just broke-ass mutants.
Broke ass mutants.
Yeah, I'm gonna
Black Bolt's cool, but that's about it.
I'm gonna have to agree with you on that one. I never really got into them. I never read the comics. I never watched the TV show, so I don't. Really
I like Black Bolt better than Cyclops.
Well, that totally makes sense to me.
They both have a five beam.
Black
Bolt sounds better.
His is only range four.
That sounds better. That sounds better than Scott's, just because it's not on Scott.
I will say this. Bolt. The Inhuman innate ability is very, very good.
Yeah.
So they have an ability that's similar to like Asgard that I would assume they all have. And they get to reroll one attack or defense dice. So that is really good.
Yeah. Yeah, between that and their affiliation, I think they'll have play. But the characters are pretty uninteresting to me.
Well, yeah, a Zemo affiliation bonus seems pretty solid.
Oh, that's not even the affiliation. That's just on them as being human.
Yeah, yeah.
The affiliation is a different thing altogether. But, yeah, so A4 seems cool. Inhumans, I'll have to see them. You know, it's going to be like one of those things where the characters show up and I finally see the cards and I'm like, okay, I can make something work with this. But when I just hear the name Inhumans and I see the names of the characters pop up, I'm not that excited.
Is that because of the bad ABC show or because
of the comics? I didn't watch that. I did see Inhumans in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which was a much better show. But they still, it just seemed like, something happened. We got superpowers.
we got some superpowers. Let's reroll
it. I have a mutation that's not a mutation.
I got sprayed with a gas. I can roll a die. Seems good.
I think they're not as widely popular, so I think a lot of it will come down to how their cards look.
Yeah, but I'm excited for the things that they tie into, like Kree and Skrull and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
There's potential for those kind of characters to come out as a result of that, or, you know, since those universes tie in together.
I'm hoping for an ultimate encounter with some Skrulls and some Kree.
Get some Super Skrull action when the Fantastic Force comes out.
Like, unfortunately, they've made it so it's like a multiverse, so we can already play character versus character. But, like, the idea that that might be some kind of ultimate encounter coming sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I think we covered a lot of ground tonight. We hit the A-Force. We talked about TTS League. We talked about the Mutant Fall League. We talked about Thanos.
We talked about me whooping Sooner's ass.
I don't remember that. I remember Sooner saying he was going to drop kick your ass out of the league.
I didn't recall any of that.
And
I signed up for the league just because Sooner's like a bitch.
Oh, and you dodged him while signing up. So
when you're being a little whiny bitch, like, oh, I don't have time. Like,
God, he's so hot. He's hot. You know? Coming in hot. That's why I brought him in.
You got to be called out.
God, you're a spark plug. I love it. I love it. Somebody you made me sign up. I had no intention to sign up the league. I talked to you for 3 minutes, and you're like, yeah, man, you should sign up, bitch.
That's what
friend, I was like, you know what? I should.
That's what friend peer pressure is for, man.
I love it. I love peer pressure.
I'm ready for the, oh, I don't have time. I got to get to the shop.
Whatever, man. I'll do it. I'm the guy that will make time.
All right. Well, I'm excited to see it. And good luck to you guys. If I don't get to play against you, I'm sure I'll be playing a lot of test games with Todd as he tries to figure out how to play again.
I'll be fine.
You'll be fine? All right.
Yeah. I should be 4-2 and just miss the cut. It'll be
so. Well, thank you guys for joining us. It's good to be back. It's good to talk to everybody again. We will be still sticking with the every other week schedule, so expect this to come out next week, and then we'll record again and then, you know, go through the whole rotation. So every other week on these, we're still going to be posting TTS games when they start showing up again on our YouTube channel.
Should we announce what's going on the off weeks?
Yeah, we could do that.
So Chris and I are taking on a side project on the off weeks. A little bit of Flesh and Blood action.
It's been mentioned on this channel before. Yeah, we will be starting a Flesh and Blood podcast.
Right up the arse.
It's called From the Arsenal. You can call it Up the Arse if you want.
FTA.
So we're going to start doing that with some locals around here. We have a group of 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 of us that are all been playing this a lot in our downtime over November and December, and have built a really good community out of it. If you're a collectible card game player, if that's something that interests you, if you followed us from Knights of Ren with the Destiny stuff, this should be a real easy fit for you. The game is great. So we're going to be doing a lot of different stuff for that. We have the podcast. We're going to be doing case break videos. We're going to be talking about the financials and everything because the game is blowing up.
Yep.
So we'll be doing that sooner. You're welcome to come join us. You want to throw some more money down on a game.
I mean, I got product for you, brother.
Yeah. We'll see. I think right now it's going to be
So Todd and I are going to be switch hitting. We're going to be doing this 1 week and then doing Flesh and Blood the next, and we're going to just keep rotating it like that. But we will be back on the regular. I appreciate you guys sticking with us while we figured out the transition while Sugi has taken a step back. So we're happy to have you guys, and just keep an eye out for all the new stuff coming. It's going to be another good year.
Sounds like we're going to have some streams coming up for some MCP content too. Yep. So,
and we will be having that, and hopefully we'll get some events this year. So.
Hell yeah.
We're hoping to be reporting to you from a con at some point this year.
I need to get some live fights with Sooner.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
I'd love to end it with an arm wrestling competition. I'll wreck you.
Yeah, just you might win that.
I'll take what I can get.
I'll win in a race, so, you know, take what I can get.
All right, well, thank you guys. We're going to sign off. Happy New Year.
Adios. Christmas.
Happy Thanksgiving. Wow, you're backwards.
God damn, man. You are doing horrible at the outros.
Well, they added Jameson to our car bombs today, so that's my excuse.
And
at least with the new Flesh and Blood, you'll get a lot of practice on your outros.